This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Finishing business. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. On this Wednesday, December 8th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The House has passed a bill that opens the door to raising the debt ceiling. It also approved a new National Defense Authorization Act.
President Biden outlines three avenues the U.S. will pursue if Russia invades Ukraine. We'll summarize his video chat with Vladimir Putin.
Researchers in South Africa say the Omicron variant can partially evade vaccine protection, but say the shots can still prevent severe disease.
And the passengers who struggle the most when it comes to flying, those in customized wheelchairs.
Most of them don't travel because of all these hurdles. And that's unfortunate. It affects people's jobs, the jobs they can hold, the ability to go see family and friends. And it just really changes their life to not be able to fly.
Scott McCartney at the Wall Street Journal on the airplane nightmare for those in wheelchairs. Lawmakers in Washington have reached an agreement on a process to raise the debt ceiling in the Senate, with the House passing a bill late last night that paves the way for Congress to avoid a default. The bill also prevents cuts to Medicare and other programs that threaten to kick in at the end of the year. It does not itself raise the debt ceiling. Instead, it sets up a procedure for an additional vote on the issue that would require a simple majority in the Senate rather than the 60 votes needed for most legislation. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
This current debt ceiling is indeed about the future and not about the past.
The Senate hopes to approve it this week. Separately, the House also approved a $778 billion National Defense Authorization Act, a defense policy and budget bill that authorizes $25 billion more in defense spending than requested by President Biden and contains a provision to create a commission on the war in Afghanistan. The Senate is expected to pass without amendments. President Biden vows three things if Russia invades Ukraine: economic penalties, moves to bolster Ukrainian defenses, and fortified support for Eastern European nations. Mr. Biden spoke with Russian President Vladimir Putin for 2 hours yesterday on a video call to address what the U.S. has described as large and unusual troop movements near Russia's border with Ukraine in recent weeks. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says Mr. Biden also reaffirmed U.S. support for Ukraine's sovereignty and urged Mr. Putin to return to diplomatic talks to resolve the conflict in Ukraine's Donbas region, where Kiev is fighting Russian-backed separatists.
The discussion between President Biden and President Putin was direct and straightforward. There was a lot of give and take. There was no finger wagging, but the president was crystal clear about where the United States stands on all of these issues.
He said the two presidents also discussed strategic stability, ransomware, and Iran. Yuri Ushakov, a presidential aide to Mr. Putin, characterized the tone of the talks as, quote, frank and businesslike. President Trump's last White House chief of staff, Mark Meadows, has indicated to the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th on the Capitol that he would no longer cooperate with its probe. That led the panel to renew its threat to recommend holding him in criminal contempt of Congress. Mr. Meadows had been scheduled to appear for a deposition today. He was on Fox News.
We've tried to work with the committee to provide them and even offered them other options in terms of answering questions, that if this has got a true legislative intent, we want to help them fix the problem where it never happens again.
Yesterday, a lawyer for Mr. Meadows wrote the panel that Mr. Meadows was willing to appear to answer questions about non-privileged matters. He said that because the committee indicated it planned to probe topics outside of those bounds, he said we must now decline the opportunity. When he was first subpoenaed, Mr. Meadows said that he was immune from compelled congressional testimony on matters related to his official duties. Coming up next, higher wages on tap for next year. Dell Technologies' end-of-year sale is the perfect time to upgrade tech. Save big on the latest computers powered by Intel Core processors for your small business. Don't forget to shop servers, storage, and top-brand electronics with savings up to 45% and all with free shipping. Call a Dell Technologies advisor to help you find the right tech for your business needs at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Companies are planning for steeper wage increases next year than at any point since the Great Recession 13 years ago. Here's what to expect from David Harrison, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. David, what's trending?
These companies are setting aside more money than they have since 2008 for raises. So what that kind of tells us is that these firms are expecting that the wage increases are going to continue next year. Which is, I guess, something, you know, a question that economists have been asking, sort of how are wage increases going to behave? And this suggests that they're going to keep on rising.
And the reason is what, David?
Well, it's the same thing we've been, we've seen for the last year or so. It's a combination of inflation, which has been going up. It's inflation. It's also a labor shortage. There are an awful lot of open positions right now, and employers are saying there simply aren't enough workers to fill those open positions. It's generally kind of the result of an economy that's recovered pretty fast and that hasn't had kind of the supply of labor that it needs to power it.
Wow. So it's not necessarily executives saying, wow, all my people are doing such wonderful work, I'm giving out raises. It perhaps could be more along the lines of, geez, this labor market is so tough, I don't want to lose anybody, so here's some retention money almost?
That's right. That's really more what's going on here. It's more just an acknowledgement of kind of the economic reality. Employers right now are really competing for workers. There have been we've seen major pay increases for workers who switch jobs. And that suggests that, yeah, at a time when the labor market is tight, workers have a lot more leverage. So they're going to go to the employers who are offering them the best deal. So employers basically have to sweeten their packages to either keep workers or to attract the workers they need.
We're speaking with David Harrison, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called Companies Plan Big Raises for Workers in 2022. What does that mean for the consumer? Maybe higher prices?
Potentially, yeah, that could be a possibility. Economists say that sometimes, you know, these wages and prices kind of work hand in hand. So higher wages lead to higher prices, and higher prices lead to higher wages, and it kind of spirals that way. So so it's a possibility that this could lead to higher prices, but at the same time we're seeing higher wages. So when you adjust for inflation, you may not actually see higher prices. But it's all this kind of remains to be seen.
When I think of wages, I sometimes think hourly wages. But you said in the story too, like salary ranges are also going up.
Yeah, that's right. So a lot of companies they set these sort of minimums, maximums, and midpoints. They like to get a sense of kind of the range of salaries for their employees. And a lot of these companies are basically adjusting that entire range up a few notches. So, if you're the lowest wage would now be, 3 or 4% higher, and the midpoint would be 3 or 4% higher, as would the maximum point. So, think of it as just like everything moves a step up.
Yeah. Finish up, if you would, just talking about the pay gap between new and experienced workers and how that could play a role here.
Yeah, so usually what happens at times like this is, when you have a tight labor market, firms are going to raise wages for new employees to attract new people. A lot of times those tend to be younger employees, people just out of school. And so over time, what you have is this kind of compression of the gap between, new employees and more experienced employees. And if you leave that unaddressed, the more experienced people may say, hey, I have all this experience, and yet I'm really not making a whole lot more than this person who just came on board with no experience. I'm going to go look for a new job that pays me more. So what happens sometimes in these situations is that employers will then, in response having paid these big wages to new people, they're going to go back and adjust wages for their existing people. Mm-hmm. And that's something we might see next year, according to the survey. I mean, we might see employers go back and adjust wages for their existing folks to keep them from jumping ship. And so that could be part of what's driving their anticipation of higher wages.
Thanks, David. David Harrison, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Dom Sabino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
In a high-stakes video call, President Biden warned Russian President Vladimir Putin of crippling economic consequences as Russia threatens to invade Ukraine. The conversation lasted two hours, ending without a breakthrough. Mr. Biden urged de-escalation but threatened stiffer sanctions than those levied against Russia in 2014 after the country annexed Crimea. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
I will look you in the eye and tell you, as President Biden looked President Putin in the eye and told him today, that things we did not do in 2014, we are prepared to do now.
Number two.
The Pfizer vaccine offers some protection against the new Omicron variant of COVID, but a new study out of South Africa has found the highly mutated Omicron strain partly escapes Pfizer's protection, and a drop in neutralization up to 41-fold. The first of its kind data comes amid early indication Omicron may be milder than previous strains. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
While we are still working to understand the severity of Omicron, as well as how it responds to therapeutics and vaccines, we anticipate that all of the same measures will at least in part provide some protection against Omicron.
Number three.
Disturbing testimony continues in the federal trial against Jeffrey Epstein's close confidant, Ghislaine Maxwell. A third accuser has taken the stand, a woman in her 30s identified in court as Carolyn. She testified Maxwell lured her into a sexual relationship with Epstein starting in the early 2000s, when Carolyn was just 14 years old. Ghislaine Maxwell has pleaded not guilty to six counts, including sex trafficking of minors. Another day of heavy rain blanketed Hawaii, which has been in a state of emergency since Monday. A severe cyclone known as a Kona Low produced flash flooding across the state. Some areas have seen as much as 20 inches of rain in the last 2 days. When you think of pairing wine with snacks, you think of cheese or chocolate. How about Oreos? That's the aim of Barefoot Wine. The popular wine label has partnered with Oreo Thins to produce a red wine, including flavors of chocolate and cookies and cream. The small batch release will cost you $25 for two regular size bottles.
Too much. It's too much. I'd rather just have that package of Oreos sitting beside the glass of wine. There's no need to blend the two.
You don't want a red wine with cookies and cream?
No, I just want them to be paired together, but separately. I want to be able to eat 9 cookies, but have the wine also, not the cookies injected.
Fair.
That's where I'm going. If you've been back at the office lately, have you noticed how work attire has changed? The days of stuffy, uncomfortable clothes is gone, thankfully. And for the new wardrobe, Cuts Clothing is on the cutting edge of casual. They've elevated the classic t-shirt to something that fits the workday, the nightlife, and you perfectly. I know firsthand, I love my Cuts shirts. They're flexible, willing to move with me, and they're tough. Perfect for when I'm in the office or a night out. Get them for yourself now, and you'll not only look good at this year's holiday events, you'll look good and stay comfortable. There's something for everyone on my list and yours, not just t-shirts. There's polos, bomber jackets, joggers, and more. Get them all from Cuts Clothing now. And don't just save time, save money too. Cuts has your holiday shopping covered with a ton of new products and special site-exclusive offers every day in December. Plus, get 15% off site-wide at cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com/Gordon to get 15% off, plus can't-miss daily deals. cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. The last month of the year means a lot of things, right? Holidays, parties, bowl games, and more. It's also an opportunity to do year-end tax planning. Things to keep in mind from Russ Wiles, personal finance columnist at the Arizona Republic. Russ, help us out.
Well, I think just the general thing you want to think about is a little tax planning in December is quite a good opportunity. By now, we have a fairly good idea of what our income and deductible expenses are for the year and other financial situations. So we can do, and we also have a few weeks left to act on them. So it's a good time to do some tax planning. And I think the key for a lot of people really focuses on whether you can itemize deductions or whether you are going to join the majority of Americans in taking the standard deduction.
Yeah. All right. Explain that difference right now.
Well, I mean, right now, because tax reform a few years ago raised the standard deduction amount, most people, about 9 out of 10 Americans, will take the standard deduction rather than itemize. If your deductible expenses are below $12,550 for singles or $25,100 for married couples, you're going to take the standard deduction. But there are some factors that can put you, some optional factors you can take in December, actions that might push you into the itemizing range where you can deduct a little bit more than you would get with the standard deduction.
All right, explain medical deductions here and how they can play a factor.
And that's one of the two, I would say, key things that a lot of people can look at. Medical deductions, there's a lot of types of medical expenses, unreimbursed medical expenses that you can deduct. The problem is you don't deduct them from the first dollar. You can only deduct them above, to the extent that expenses exceed 7.5% of your income for the year, which is a fairly high floor for a lot of people. But if you have some, you know, big surgeries or hospital bills that perhaps you can take this year, you might be, combined with other deductions, you might be able to get there. So to the extent that your unreimbursed medical expenses are somewhat flexible, you might be able to accelerate them into 2021, possibly get that deduction, or push them back into maybe 2022 and take it then.
Mm. We're speaking with Russ Wiles, personal finance columnist at the Arizona Republic, part of the USA Today network. We're talking about end-of-year tax deductions. Also here, what about special donations?
And the other big thing that people often have some deductibility wiggle room on are charitable deductions. You're talking about a fairly new provision in the law that pretty much allows anyone to deduct a small amount of charitable deductions, charitable contributions for the year without itemizing. And those figures, you can basically take this non-itemizing charitable deduction worth $300 for singles or $600 for married couples.
Thanks, Russ. Russ Wiles, personal finance columnist at the Arizona Republic. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. For a while, letting your facial hair go was the in thing to do, but what seemed like a good idea indoors isn't panning out in the heat, is it? Time to get back to shaving again. If one of the reasons you didn't miss shaving is the ridiculous price of blades, then you need to know about Harry's. And if you have known about Harry's and haven't tried them yet, now's the time. When I got my first Harry's starter set, I felt the difference right away. The 5-blade razor, along with the weighted handle, made getting an amazingly close shave effortless. The foaming shave gel with aloe is excellent too. The starter set comes with all that, plus a travel case, and right now, at a great deal. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. You've got nothing to lose. Go to harrys.com right now to get this special offer. That's HARRYS. harrys.com/deal.
Expert insight, world-class reporting. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, December 8th. Gordon Deal with Dom Savino, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: the House approves a debt ceiling plan and a defense policy and budget bill. Biden identifies 3 responses by the U.S. if Russia invades Ukraine. The Michigan Attorney General will look at events just before last week's deadly school shooting. Supreme Court hears arguments today in a school voucher case. New Wall Street Journal survey finds more voters say they'd back a Republican than a Democrat for Congress. And the Bronx dad, who's upped his game when it comes to feeding the homeless. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Indeed. Is finding seasonal help on your wish list? You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. If you faced a 1 in 50 chance of losing your ability to move through life independently, when you took your next flight. Would you take that chance? That's what motorized wheelchair-dependent travelers face. Many don't travel because of those odds. Part of it is because airlines play by a different set of rules when it comes to disability compliance. More from Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Scott, what's it like for some of them?
This is for people, this is not so much the folks who need the wheelchair to navigate the long walks and stuff, and then they get on the airplane with their cane or whatever. These are people who rely on power wheelchairs for their mobility. They can't go anywhere without the equipment. And they truly have the hardest time. The power wheelchairs now, they're customized, they're incredibly expensive, they're incredibly heavy, they're very functional, but they're not made for airplane travel. And so airlines have a terrible time actually transporting these things, and the breakage rates are really pretty high. It's 1-2% of every wheelchair, but that includes a lot of, you know, the collapsible mechanical ones. The ones with batteries and drivetrains and joysticks and power, they're getting damaged more. And when it gets damaged, the person is stuck. And then there's the whole issue of accessibility on the airplane. The tiny, tiny airplane bathrooms that all of us who are able-bodied have difficulty maneuvering in. Yeah. Imagine if you didn't have your legs and somebody had to lift you. They're not accessible to people who don't have full mobility. And so they end up dehydrating themselves to make it through the five-hour flight. It's really tough. The air travel is one area where we have seen so many improvements in accessibility through the Americans with Disabilities Act that doesn't apply to the airline industry. And we haven't seen that kind of improvement in air travel.
Why don't those rules apply? Does that speak to the airline industry lobby?
Yeah, sure. There is always that. But these are really serious issues of, disability advocates and wheelchair people say, why can't I just drive my wheelchair onto the airplanes that fold up like they do on buses? For me to strap in my power wheelchair in the first row. And that's good in theory, but then you have the structural issue of how much weight can the floor of the aircraft support?
We're speaking with Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called The Passengers Who Have the Toughest Time Flying. And those generally are the ones who have those customized or motorized wheelchairs. So you kind of alluded to it. I mean, there's no solution anytime soon. This is a next generation aircraft thing.
Yeah, I think so. Some airlines do better at wheelchair handling than others. Some have gone further with their training. Delta has a pretty good record at this. They have an advisory council of 14 Delta frequent flyers who are in wheelchairs, and they've paid attention to that. So I think there can be short-term improvements. Americans starting to install lifts at various airports. A lift you could move around to the gate. You know somebody's coming with a power wheelchair. And so the lift is there to help the ground crew move it from the jet bridge down to the tarmac, help load it on the airplane. I mean, one of the dangers of these things, you put it on that belt, angled belt that goes up into the cargo hold. You may have to turn the chair on its side to get it in the cargo hold, and they're really precarious. They're not made to be turned on their side,
right.
And they can fall off the belt. It is a tricky thing. So there are better ways to handle them and reduce the damage. If you rely on that chair for your mobility and it gets damaged and you're without the chair for 3 or 4 weeks while it gets repaired or longer, it is, life-changing. It makes a huge difference. And what happens is people who are in, most of them don't travel because of all these hurdles. And that's unfortunate. It affects people's jobs, the jobs they can hold, the ability to go see family and friends, and it just really changes their life to not be able to fly.
It's a good story. Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. Coming up next, a gymnast sets an insane record.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick has been called a lot of things, good and bad, depending on who you root for, but maybe we should add Master of Foreshadowing to the list. Monday night, the Patriots won a game in a most unusual way by not passing the ball. Quarterback Mac Jones attempted only three passes due to gale force winds, the fewest in a game in over 40 years. The intrigue comes from an interview Belichick did before the game, sporting a face mask with the Naval Academy logo on it. Navy is famous for its non-passing offense, so some thought that maybe that was Belichick's subtle way of suggesting that the Patriots were planning to go triple option on Monday Night Football. It should be noted, however, that Belichick's father was a longtime coach at Navy, and the annual Army-Navy game is this Saturday, so it's possible the future Hall of Famer was just showing some love to the midshipman.
We don't know. Very easily could have worn an Army face mask, I guess, referencing running.
Well, sure, I guess, if he wanted to do that, but of course he wouldn't do that. I assume his allegiances are more directed towards Navy.
It does seem that way. Well, when Army beats Navy again on Saturday, maybe he'll change masks for next year.
Back off there, Mr. Army.
Go Army, beat Navy.
And as we continue to monitor the pandemic run on world records, we come across an athletic feat so astounding, you get winded just watching it. A South African gymnast added another Guinness record to his name by performing 31 one-handed back handsprings in a row while alternating his hands. Zama Mofokeng previously earned a Guinness title when he performed 36 consecutive one-handed back handsprings using the same hand each time. And now he's alternating, which could be easier or harder, but is definitely out of reach for us mere mortals. Guinness shared video of the acrobatics on Instagram. Zama said he started performing handsprings at age 10, but a hand injury led him to learn to do the trick one-handed when he was 13.
That is insane.
I mean, and he's on pavement, right? So if he messes up, I mean, his head's going right into the ground.
That to be able to do it with both hands is just remarkable, alternating like that.
Yeah, yes.
And it doesn't seem like he's using a ton of momentum, right? A lot of the gymnasts you see get kind of the running start and then knock out several back handsprings in a row, but he just seems like each one is just very deliberate, like he's in complete command of every muscle in his body.
Yeah, I mean, it almost looks like he's even going uphill, like on this road that he's on. Right. It almost had another degree of difficulty added to the whole thing. It's unbelievable.
It is incredible. Thank you, Mike. Dell Technologies' end-of-year sale is the perfect time to upgrade tech. Save big on the latest computers powered by Intel Core processors for your small business. Don't forget to shop servers, storage, and top-brand electronics with savings up to 45% and all with free shipping. Call a Dell Technologies advisor to help you find the right tech for your business needs at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. When it comes to your electricity and gas bill, you're more or less stuck with the company that services your area. That's a tough spot during this period of inflation, but that doesn't mean there aren't still opportunities to save money. MarketWatch says first, learn how your electricity or gas provider calculates your rate. Some could vary significantly day by day based on demand. If that's the case, you should preemptively start heating your home a couple of days before a forecasted snowstorm so that you can lower your thermostat the day of, since your house will already be at a nice temp. Also, the American Rescue Plan, which passed in March this year, allocated money for the low-income home energy assistance program. If you're eligible, it's designed to help households pay for heating and power, as well as minor energy-related home repairs. You can also install electricity monitors, like one called Sense, that will identify your home's energy hogs. Maybe it's the 30-year-old beer fridge in the garage. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The House has voted to raise the debt ceiling, an important first step as the U.S. looks to avoid a default. Top Democrats and Republicans struck a deal that would allow both chambers of Congress to raise the nation's borrowing limit with a simple majority vote. The measure now heads to the Senate. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
We have seen Leader Schumer and Senator McConnell engage in discussions in good faith to move this forward to prevent a default. That certainly is a good sign, and today was a positive development.
Without action, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen estimates the nation will hit its debt ceiling 1 week from today.
Number two.
Severe economic consequences. That's the threat from President Biden to Russian President Vladimir Putin during a crucial two-hour video call. Mr. Biden urged a drawdown in tensions at Russia's border with Ukraine, where more than 100,000 Russian troops cover three sides. But should Russia follow through by invading Ukraine as the intelligence community fears, the U.S. has threatened sanctions against the Russian economy and top Russian officials.
Number three.
Police in Texas are searching for a suspect who they say shot one person at a mall and forced shoppers to shelter in place for hours. The shooting occurred just after 7 last night at a mall in Killeen, Texas, about 70 miles north of Austin. Killeen Police Chief Charles Kimball.
There was at least one person that was shooting, and we do not have that male, that white male, 6 feet tall with a beanie and a hoodie. He is not in custody, and we don't know where he's at.
Police say the injured person is stable after being airlifted to a nearby hospital. Amazon says its network issues have been resolved after a major outage knocked a chunk of the internet offline for hours yesterday. The outage was linked to an Amazon Web Services hosting site in Northern Virginia. Among the services reporting issues, Disney Plus, Netflix, Ticketmaster, and Robinhood. Well, another billionaire has soared into outer space. Japanese entrepreneur Yuzaku Maezawa blasted off from Kazakhstan in a Russian space capsule this morning. Destination, the International Space Station, where Maezawa and three others will spend about a week and a half. It's the first self-funded mission to the ISS in a decade, a mission running about $50 million.
Man, big money. Thank you, Dom. Isn't fine print annoying? Every big wireless provider has it. That's where they always hide the catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? Turns out there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. No retail stores means no crazy overhead costs that sneak onto your bill as mystery fees. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone and keep your same number with all your existing contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile's 7-day money-back guarantee has you covered. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, visit mintmobile.com/Gordon. That's mintmobile.com/Gordon. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Marty Rogers has been feeding the homeless for 44 years. And in those four decades, the dad from Bronx, New York, has organized a Thanksgiving dinner for those in need through his church, Immaculate Conception. Every year, his three kids help him serve up the holiday meal. But a few years ago, Marty was inspired to do even more. CBS News says Marty came up with what are now called Hope Walks. A few times a year, Marty and volunteers from the church and school would get together to make sandwiches, then walk around their South Bronx neighborhood and ask people if they'd like some food. When the pandemic hit and many things shut down, Marty decided to ramp up his efforts, going out three times a week. Each week, they make homemade peanut butter and jellies and turkey sandwiches and pack up bags with snacks and water. When it's nice out, the volunteers gather in the local community garden and build the sandwiches together. Marty, by the way, gets help from various volunteers and nuns from the church, Immaculate Conception School, and a high school in Harlem. That'll do it for this hour. For Dom Savino, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.